Let's continue reading verses 5 through 10 of 1 John chapter 1. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have the requirements of Christian fellowship. When we say requirements, we don't mean requirements for entering Christian fellowship, but requirements for enjoying and experiencing Christian fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, beginning now at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Once again, some background notes. The Epistle of 1 John is not the easiest book of the Bible to outline. In fact, I would challenge all of you here this morning to read this entire epistle and try to outline it without using study Bibles or commentaries. You will find that 1 John is not as easy to outline as most of the other books of the New Testament. However, the purpose of 1 John is quite easy to recognize because John tells us directly what his purpose is for writing this epistle. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So there's the purpose of 1 John, plain and simple, to give believers assurance of their salvation and to encourage them in their faith. So again, I say to you, if you have doubts concerning your salvation and need assurance of your salvation, read the epistle of 1 John. Now compare this purpose of the epistle of 1 John with the purpose of the Gospel of John. I'm reading John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. John 20, verses 30 and 31. Notice that the purpose of John's gospel is to lead people to salvation in Christ. That's why the Gospel of John is a good book to give your non-Christian friends to read. You know, if you ever have some unbelievers promise you that they will read any book of Scripture that you give them, I would suggest the Gospel of John, not Leviticus. Not that Leviticus is in Scripture, and not that God can't use the book of Leviticus to lead a person to Christ. He certainly can. I have a good friend that became a Christian through reading Ecclesiastes. So God can use any portion of his word. But the primary purpose of Leviticus is not to lead an unbeliever to Christ, whereas that's exactly the purpose of the Gospel of John. Now, the purpose of the epistle of 1 John is to give the believer assurance of salvation. 1 John is not how to be saved, but how the saved should be. The Gospel of John is about relationship and union with Christ. 1 John is about fellowship and communion with Christ and with fellow believers. 1 John is like a family picture album. Open a family picture album and you'll see your picture if you're in the family. Read 1 John and you'll see your picture there if you're in the family of God. It will give you assurance of your salvation. The theme that emerges from the pages of 1 John is Christian fellowship. Who's in the fellowship? Who's not in the fellowship? Now, we've already looked at Christ as the basis of Christian fellowship and joy as the result of Christian fellowship. Now, let's look at the requirements of Christian fellowship. And that brings us then to the teaching points for this second half of chapter 1. So doctrinal or teaching point number one. Walking in the light is a requirement of Christian fellowship. Walking in the light is a requirement of Christian fellowship. Remember that when we say requirements of Christian fellowship, we mean requirements for enjoying and experiencing Christian fellowship, not requirements for entering Christian fellowship. To enter the Christian fellowship, you must become a Christian. You must acknowledge you're a sinner and in need of salvation and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Then you're in the Christian fellowship. But now, as a Christian, now to enjoy and experience Christian fellowship, you must walk in the light. Verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, what does it mean to walk in the light? Does it mean to take daily walks outside in the sunshine? Obviously not. Let's start with verse 5. What does it mean that God is light and in him is no darkness at all? This is figurative language for moral perfection. God is absolutely holy and righteous and pure. No darkness at all. No moral imperfection. Even though God allows sin to continue at the present time, he does not condone sin in any way, and he is not responsible for it in any way. Some people have a problem with this, but this is what the Bible is teaching us here. You have an unbiblical and warped idea of God if you attribute even the slightest moral imperfection to God. He always does the right thing, even though we may not understand it at present. He is perfect in every way. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now we are to walk in the light, verses 6 and 7. To walk in the light is not only to believe the truth, but to practice the truth. If you say that you're a Christian, and you say that you're in fellowship with the Lord, but you're living in sin, well, you may be a Christian, but you're certainly not in fellowship with the Lord. In fact, verse 6 says you're lying. You can't be in fellowship with the Lord if you're living in sin. You're not walking in the light. Let me ask you this morning, are you lying this morning? Is it possible you're here as a Christian and you're lying? You think you're in fellowship with the Lord, but you're involved in sin? You're really lying. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice, to walk in the light does not imply sinlessness. In fact, verses 8 through 10 says that anyone who claims sinlessness is deceived. To walk in the light means to practice righteousness and purity as a way of life. Do you try to do the right thing even when you know you won't get caught? Do you check your impure thoughts before they become sinful fantasies? Do you guard what you see on the internet, even though no one else is around? Do you really want to enjoy and experience fellowship with the Lord and fellow believers? Walking in the light is a requirement of Christian fellowship. Doctrine point number 2, confessing our sins is a requirement of Christian fellowship. Confessing our sins is a requirement of Christian fellowship. Verses 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. In these verses, we have our responsibility and God's promise in reference to dealing with our sins. Our responsibility is to acknowledge our sin and confess our sins. Verse 8, you see, has to do with our sinful nature. If we say that we have no sin, that is indwelling sin, that is our sinful nature, if we say we don't have that, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We are not only sinners because we sin because we are sinners by nature. We are born with a sinful nature. Did your parents ever have to say to you, oh, won't you go out and be bad for a change? They never had to say that, right? It's always, won't you go out and be good for a change? It's because we're born with a sinful nature. Verse 10 has to do with our sins. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, I once had a man tell me that he hadn't sinned for 2 weeks. I mean, come on. I said, he was ignoring sins of omission. There are not only sins of commission, there are sins of omission, right? What we don't do that we should be doing. So I said to him, what about your sins of omission? Have you loved your wife as Christ loved the church, according to Ephesians 5:25? You know what he said to me? He essentially said, yes, why don't you ask my wife? Well, a few weeks later, I just happened to be talking to his wife, and I got a completely different picture of their marriage. Obviously, this man hadn't comprehended 1 John chapter 1 very well. So our part is to acknowledge our sinful nature and confess our sins. Now God's part is his promise to forgive us and cleanse us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our known sins, God promises to forgive these sins and further cleanse us from all unrighteousness in our lives. Unrighteousness that we may not even be aware of. The similar thought is at the end of verse 8. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What a wonderful promise. Do you confess your known sins? You know, some Christians overlook this important aspect of living as a Christian. Confessing our sins is a requirement of Christian fellowship. Practical application from the second half of 1 John chapter 1. Let's practice the presence of the Lord. Let's practice the presence of the Lord. Do you practice the presence of the Lord in your life? An important part of walking in the light is to practice the presence of the Lord in your life. When you watch TV and videos, do you consider that the Lord is right there watching with you? He is. When you talk about fellow believers, you know that the Lord is there listening? He is. The Lord is at hand, Philippians 4, 5. When you fill out your income tax or expense accounts, do you realize the Lord is looking over your shoulder? He is. Let's practice the presence of the Lord. It's all part of walking in the light. Do you talk to the Lord throughout the day, not just at prayer time, but throughout the day? He is with us, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13, 5. You know, I love to talk to the Lord when I'm driving alone or when I'm running. Practicing the presence of the Lord in our lives is an important part of walking in the light. Let's practice the presence of the Lord.